And thank you, Polly. Of course, tomorrow is a hugely significant day in the government's bid to stop the boat. Whether or not the Rwanda plan is legal. Suella Braverman went to the African country earlier this year to highlight what was one of her flagship policies. Last month, the Home Office challenged a Court of Appeal ruling from June that the multi-million pound deal was unlawful. However, the policy announced in April 2022 has been held up in the courts, with no deportation flights having yet taken place. Well, I'm joined now by the barrister and writer, Stephen Barrett. Stephen, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And this story is literally happening in front of our eyes because the withering resignation, not resignation, sorry, the withering letter that Suella just sent to Rishi Sunak specifically picks up on the legal shortfalls of the Rwanda plan. And win or lose, she's quite clearly saying here that Rishi Sunak is not prepared. Can you talk us through that in terms of the legal framework, please, Stephen?
Yes, well, it's no surprise to me to have some sudden drama in relation to the Rwanda plan, because I went to bed having prepared to do a morning slot on the Rwanda plan after the Court of Appeal. And then when I was asleep, the European Court of Human Rights intervened and threw a grenade. So don't worry, I'm used to it. What Suella is explaining, and this is constitutionally unique, because if Suella was still in the cabinet, she wouldn't be able to say this. But she's made it very clear that this is Rishi Sunak betting the house on one plan. He has put all his eggs, if her letter is to be trusted, then he has put all his eggs in one basket and is betting on winning in the Supreme Court tomorrow. A more sensible plan might have been to have several different policies, several different plans for dealing with this, and then hope that one of them would be lawful, rather than to bet the house on this Rwanda scheme. Now, the scheme won in the first court. In the second court, it lost two against one. So there are people who back this. It was the Lord Chief Justice of England and Wales who said this scheme could work. The Supreme Court tomorrow might back this. They might not back it. But what Suella's letter makes very clear is that this is a gamble by the Prime Minister. And she is claiming to be warned him multiple times. And that is, I think, very constitutionally significant. She's no longer gagged by collective responsibility. And she's now just making it very clear to us that the Prime Minister has spent a year effectively crossing his fingers and hoping that this will get through the Supreme Court. There is, I mean, should they win, then I do have to warn your listeners that it doesn't necessarily mean that flights will take off. And that's because there is an unwillingness. Sorry, Mark.
So, Stephen, that brings me on to this key point, which, again, she clearly pinpoints in her letter. And that is, if, on the other hand, we win in the Supreme Court tomorrow because of the compromises that you insisted on, then we will struggle to deliver on this partnership. And then, she says, it will be vulnerable to being thwarted yet again by the Strasbourg court. So that is then the spectre of, even in the event of a victory on British soil, then we will be bowing to Strasbourg. How can that be allowed to happen?
Well, because she says that she lobbied for clauses to go into the Act that would stop that happening, and that he decided not to do that. She makes a key legal point in her letter about that the Prime Minister believed that these injunctions that come out of Strasbourg, these Rule 39 orders, are legally binding. Now, I don't believe that they are legally binding. And then several other good lawyers don't think they're legally binding. I think she references one of them in the House of Lords. I don't think she named it, but it's almost certainly Lord Radharami. But I don't believe what you've got is a Prime Minister who's taking legal positions that are very restrictive on what the UK can do. And actually, he could be much more robust. And I think he can be more robust than lots of other lawyers think so too.
And Stephen, there's a phrase here which she draws attention to, notwithstanding clauses to that effect. So is this, you please educate me, is this basically saying that if there had been laws drawn up or clauses drawn up which gave British law supremacy, that even in the event of a defeat or a victory, we could have overridden the ECHR and Strasbourg anyway, but Rishi didn't put that in, and therefore, win or lose, we could be in hot water.
Yes, actually, I think you're understanding that very well. I mean, I am a total legal nerd, so this is my opportunity to actually upset Suella, because I don't like the phrase she used, but I can't remember what you said. It, I can't remember what she said. I would have called them ouster clauses. And we have proved that ouster clauses work. When Parliament wants to, it can put judges back in their box and say, this is going to happen, whether the judges like it or not. And that's now been proved to work. When we knew it worked. And the first one was actually in 1688. Okay. So we have always known it. But we got into an odd state where we believed that Parliament was somehow subject to court, which it isn't.
OK, Stephen Barrett, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you for that expert legal analysis. And whatever happens, there's going to be choppy water ahead for this.